coming to you from deep inside the vaults of the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music. I am Tom Holmes, your curator and guide to vintage electronic music and audio experimentation. This episode, Electronic Jazz, Part 1, Before the Synthesizer. What is electronic jazz? It might consist of jazz with electronic sounds on tape, or live jazz with an electronically modified jazz instrument, or the use of a synthesizer. This is part one of what will be a series of episodes exploring the roots of electronic jazz. Jazz that incorporates electronic music of some kind, although common today, had roots in the 1960s. The experiments closely followed the availability of technology for making electronic music. There were essentially three waves. The first experiments, covered in this episode, combined jazz with electronic music on tape. In future episodes, we'll hear about the second and third waves of electronic jazz, that using electronically modified instruments, and then the introduction of the synthesizer as a performance instrument. With the exception of Rahsaan Roland Kirk, featured in this episode, the first wave was mostly practiced by white Eurocentric artists. The second and third waves were led by African-American and Afrocentric musicians and successfully embraced the practice of improvisation. Names like Eddie Harris, Miles Davis, and Herbie Hancock come to mind. I'll feature them in future episodes on this topic. For this episode, I have 9 recordings lined up that speak to this 1960s experimentation with jazz and electronic music on tape. Frankly, I am always surprised to discover another experiment like the ones I am sharing here. They are pretty rare. These experiments, for that's exactly what they were attempts by these artists to perform a new kind of sound only imagined in the minds of the musician. I'll divide the 9 tracks into 2 sets and say a few words about each before I play them. Track number 1 is by André Oder, Jazz et Jazz. This French composer created this early experiment in the combination of jazz and tape music in 1960. Oder composed this short 3-minute work for jazz ensemble using tape effects combined with live playing to realize the end result you're going to hear. This result is what he called a composite tape, in which you will hear a normal jazz ensemble plus the sounds of the band manipulated on tape. Listen for the use of tape manipulation techniques borrowed from Musée Concrète, such transformations as speed changes, tape reversal, filtering, and the playing of the tape upside down, plus chirping microphone taps, and other percussive effects. The next track will be Terry Riley and Chet Baker, Music for the Gift, Part 1. Yes, Terry Riley and trumpeter Chet Baker actually collaborated on a work. This early experiment in tape delay took place in Paris in 1963. Riley was asked to contribute to a small stage production called The Gift, which featured the Chet Baker Jazz Quartet. Riley devised a tape delay setup for this performance using 2 tape recorders and a long loop of tape tracking from the record head of the first to the playback head of the second, and then looping back around and recycling the sound. And the result was a set of looped phrases blending and overlapping with a variable delay pattern, creating rhythm loops juxtaposed with the tempo of the recorded jazz tracks. The jazz group also played to these loops live, with Riley essentially remixing the material in real time. Doesn't it make you wonder what Chet Baker thought of this? Track number 3 is by Walter DeMaria from 1964. Walter DeMaria is best known for his works of environmental art, but he was also a jazz rock drummer. When he came to New York, he decided to shift his energy from jazz to art. But Demaria continued to dabble with music. We will hear cricket music from 1964 from this 24-minute private recording of drumming set to the sounds of crickets. Demaria carefully adjusted the mix of the field recordings and drumming so that each type of sound was at times dominant. Track number 4 is by Bob James. It is called Untitled Tracks from the album Explosions in 1965. Keyboardist Bob James and his trio recorded this album for the independent jazz label ESP Disc. This album combined improvisational jazz with electronic tape music by Gordon Mumma and Robert Ashley, whom James knew from Ann Arbor. As to the process that was involved, Gordon Mumma told me, quote, "The tapes we gave him were our compositions that he knew. I recall that his ideas included using them as something of a sound canvas on which, or with which, his trio would paint their live acoustical sounds," unquote. Explosions consisted of 5 tracks, 3 of which had electronic tape parts. The electronics were most prominent in the track Untitled Mixes, heard here using a tape by Robert Ashley. Track number 5 is from Ross on Roland Kirk, Slippery, Hippery, Flippery, from the album Rip, Rig, and Panic in 1965. Kirk was a remarkable multi-instrumentalist. He is best known for his skill at playing 2 and sometimes 3 woodwinds at the same time, and occasionally adding a droning nose flute to create 2, 3, and 4-part harmony with himself. Kirk was also one of the first well-established full-time jazz musicians to integrate taped electronic sounds into his music. He was interested in musique concrète, noting that Edgard Varèse was an influence on his music. In the early 1960s, he began making tape collages of ambient sounds, conversations, and musical instruments and adding them to his music. The album on which he first included electronic music on tape was his 12th, Rip, Rig, and Panic. Let's listen to these tracks now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
let's hear some additional examples of jazz incorporating electronic music on tape. Track number 6 is Jazz X from 1966 by French composer Bernard Parmigiani. Parmigiani was a veteran of Musée Concrète, having worked with Pierre Schaeffer at the GRM studio in Paris. He composed Jazz X in 1966 for electronic tape and jazz quartet. The idea was to see what would happen if the sounds created by a group of improvising jazz musicians was captured, given the Musée Concrète treatment, and then recombined with the original. This left much with which Parmigiani could experiment in terms of the innate structure of the jazz improvisations, combining them in new ways and adding his own electronic sounds. In June 1966, the work was premiered in front of a live audience at a French arts and music festival. With the quartet on stage, Parmigiani was in the wings, mixing the sound and playing the tape part. For the live performance, the musicians, in fact, reacted to the distortions and permutations of their sound, creating a kind of dialogue with the composer who was off stage. For the next track, we'll hear Roger Kellaway. He was a young American composer who found his calling later as a composer for television and as a sideman for pop singers. One of the recordings he made during his early life as a jazz artist was Spirit Feel in 1967. It was recorded live with his quartet at a Los Angeles club. What is generally overlooked about this album is that it also featured one Paul Beaver of Moog synthesizer fame, playing the, quote, tape recorder, unquote. However, you will not hear a Moog on this album. Instead, Kellaway chose to use tape music much the same as Bob James had earlier. He works with Beaver on 2 set pieces of electronic tape music used for the performance. We will hear the track Spirit Feel. The tape music is non-rhythmic, noise-based, and loud, and one senses a genuine collision of electronic sounds and the jazz musicians. Next, we will hear Frank Zappa from the album Lumpy Gravy in 1968. Also an admirer of Edgard Varèse, Zappa's early work mixed elements of rock, polyrhythmic jazz, classical, and musique concrète. I'm featuring a segment from about 9 minutes into side one that is sporadically jazz-like mixed with tape music. Of interest here are the concrète parts, only about 4 minutes of the total album. For track number 9, we will close with this fantastically original album by Barney Weilan. Auto Jazz, The Tragic Destiny of Lorenzo Bandini, Part 2, from 1968. Barney Weilan was a noted French jazz alto saxophonist and composer. He was also a fan of Grand Prix auto racing, and in May 1967, attended a race in Monaco equipped with 3 portable reel-to-reel tape recorders to capture the sound of the entire event for a film. Tragically, near the end of the race, Italian driver Lorenzo Bandini was killed when his axle snapped and the car flipped over in a fiery crash. Saddened, but inspired by the tragedy, Weilan used the audio tapes of the race as a basis for a tribute piece, his total spectacle, as he called it, of electronic tape and free jazz, called Auto Jazz. The work was divided into 5 parts corresponding to stages of the race and featured his free jazz combo playing to the recorded sounds of the actual race. Weilan was careful to let the sounds be themselves, the music being continually jarred and buoyed by the roaring of passing race cars, crowd sounds, PA announcers, and pit crews. The work was performed live in Berlin in November 1968, along with a film of the race. Let's listen to these tracks now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. local drugstore.
How much?
It's from Kansas.
Board out 90 over with 3 Strongberg 97.
Good bread.
Because I was making,
$2.71 an hour.
I keep switching girls all the time because if I'm able to find a girl with really a groovy car that I can build up, man, I'll go steady with it for a while until I build up her car and blow up the engine.
Those were tracks of electronic jazz using the tape recorder as a source of sound material. Please see the podcast website for a complete playlist for this episode. Working with electronic music on tape did not appeal to the majority of jazz musicians and improvisers. However, at the same time, other innovative jazz musicians were discovering the synthesizer, ring modulator, and a variety of related devices for electronically producing sounds in live performance. We'll take a look at these trends in future podcasts. For more information, please read my book, Electronic and Experimental Music, 6th edition, by Tom Holmes, published by Routledge. Now for the archive mix, in which I play two additional tracks at the same time to see what happens. Here are two additional tracks of electronic jazz and tape. They will be excerpts from Walter DeMaria, Ocean Music, privately released 1968, and Barney Weiland, Auto Jazz, Part 1, also from 1968. Music heard on this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, comes from the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music, a curated collection of vintage vinyl recordings. All crackles, surface noise, and other imperfections are purely intentional. All intro, outro, and other incidental music is by Tom Holmes. For a complete playlist, go to theholmesarchive.podbean.com. So long from deep inside, the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music.